Why are we doing this episode?
Presidents, because it's election day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Fuck, I'm terrified.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Shit. I don't want to talk about
like the rest of America.
Yeah. What's up? This is Movies on Up. One quiet voice can ignite a revolution. I am Dave, joined by the quiet voice that's been with me for 4 years, Mr. Ryan.
I was thinking I was the revolutionary, but I guess I'll just be the quiet voice.
Yeah, we're pretty lazy. We're both too lazy to be revolutionary. He's Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, one quiet voice can ignite a revolution. Another synonym for quiet voice is vote. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. If you are correct and we pick you, we will send you a lovely, beautiful Movies on Up prize package as long as the world still exists. This week is election week. If you haven't gone to vote yet, if you're listening to this on election day, go vote.
You might still have time. Polls are open.
Hopefully you voted. Can't tell you who to vote for, but hopefully we still have a world that we exist in.
I'm really just hoping that after today, that it's not like the end of the comic book version of The Watchmen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just imagining like a giant kraken just engulfing the country. Whatever happens.
Somebody's got a plan B that we thought we could do something really depressing, or we could do our favorite movie, Presidents.
Which might be just as depressing.
Just as depressing. So that's what we're going to do this week in honor of the election. We are doing our favorite movie presidents.
Which I'm sure there's probably been no articles written over the past year like that. Well, yeah. It's a totally original idea.
Oh, but yeah. But
if anything,
this is why we're not revolutionary.
We are known for our originality here.
So enough about that.
The election.
Yeah. I just got bummed out when I realized why we were doing this episode. But anyway, your fifth favorite movie president.
My fifth favorite movie president, I just realized how dated this is going to be, was just in attendance at Game 7 of the World Series last night.
Bill Murray?
No, Charlie Sheen. Oh, President Wrathcock from Machete Kills, Robert Rodriguez's 2013 masterpiece. I will call it a masterpiece, starring Danny Trejo, Mel Gibson, and Damian Bashir. As a president, you're only as good as your policy. Legalizing marijuana in 21 states, as well as building a multinational task force made up almost entirely by Machete to combat terrorism, is a really strong platform. As wild as Machete was, what I appreciate the most about Machete Kills is that it seemed to know that it was a sequel. It somehow managed to ratchet up the violence and gore from the first movie and make the deaths more over the top, all while setting up a further sequel that is teased by a fake trailer before Machete Kills even begins. With that being said, you couldn't have accepted a role in this movie without being fully on board with the crazy. Mel Gibson is great as the big bad in this movie. He is the Mel Gibson that I think we all assume he is now, like evil, maniacal, just a bad person. Damian Bashir has some really great moments as the manic Mendez. And Sheen, or as he's actually credited here, Carlos Estevez, all make the commitment to ride this crazy train or rocket all the way to space. Extra points for all the Star Wars style ripoffs, and they're not shy about telling you who they're ripping off there. Not to compare it to a movie that you do love, because it's just going to make you hate Machete Kills even more, but I think that a lot of what 22 Jump Street does, Machete Kills does as well. They realize it's a sequel. They do sequel-y things by teasing Machete Kills in space before Machete Kills starts, showing you the man in the iron mask played by Leo DiCaprio, and then putting right under it, may not be portrayed by the same actor. It's ridiculous humor. It's a good way to kill about an hour and 45 minutes and a lot of people.
Mine is not as goofy of a movie. It is from the year 2000, written and directed by Rod Lurie. It is The Contender, starring Joan Allen, Gary Oldman, Christian Slater, and Jeff Bridges as President Jackson Evans. It's Joan Allen's movie. It's, you know, a woman in politics. She's in the running for vice president. And then everybody comes out to assassinate her character, and she deals with sexism. And there's a double standard where things are held against her that her male counterparts could get away with, and she's just vilified for whatever reason to the point where nobody trusts her, and they probably couldn't tell you why. She's fantastic. But Jeff Bridges, as the president, he's a solid part of the movie, but when he has to be presidential, you buy Jeff Bridges as the president. He's got that charisma. He's got that charm. There's a great speech in there that he delivers very presidentially. Just a solid, solid movie. Joan Allen is phenomenal in this movie. This is some of Gary Oldman at his peak. Like this
that
is
Oldman-iest?
Well, there's no such thing as Oldman-iest because there's so many things. There's no definitive Gary Oldman role because he can do everything. But this is Gary Oldman being Gary Oldman. Really, really good. Sam Elliott's in it. Not a cowboy. Still sounds like a cowboy. That won't make sense for another few weeks. But just a really, really good movie and about 16 years ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's easy to read into that description a little bit. You know, my number four may end up being years and years ahead of its time, too. It's a movie that I'm sure Dave would have put a substantial sum of money down on me having on my list, and it is Stanley Kubrick's 1964, Dr. Strangelove, and The President. Amongst the many roles Peter Sellers played in this movie, he did play President Merkin Muffley. This is a great movie to showcase the talents of Peter Sellers, where there may not be a Gary Oldman at his Gary Oldman-iest. I would make the argument that this is Peter Sellers at his Peter Sellery or Sell whatever. He was nominated for an Oscar for Best Leading Actor, though you could have made the argument that he could also have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor as well. The titular character of Dr. Strangelove, I think, stands out the most in Sellers' performance, but you can't sell short Lionel Mandrake as the British Air Commander, or the perfectly straight and somber President Merkin Muffley. He's really a sorry president. As a matter of fact, he's much sorrier than you could possibly be. Whereas many successful presidents have surrounded themselves with a litany of experts for their cabinet to supplement their own knowledge, President Muffley seems to have stocked his cabinet with fools, and he doesn't seem to realize his mistake until it's far too late. And he also gives the war room line, which is one of my favorites from that movie. And it's a good barometer for whether or not you'll enjoy the humor here. Really, really dark. Oftentimes, it's dry and ironic as well. You have basically just ineptitude at the highest conceivable levels, systemic, that basically causes the end of the world because everyone's just too dumb to be able to do anything about it. As much as I love the war room line, Peter Sellers has a phone call where he calls his Russian counterpart, who's drunk at this point in the night, to explain to him that there are U.S. airplanes going his way to nuke Russia. And just the whole and it's not even really an exchange. It's just you hear him and you hear him respond to the Russian. But that whole scene is just, it's phenomenal. Given the weight of the situation, kind of how light and ridiculous that whole thing is, it's a perfect epitome of the movie. And by far, he's worse than President Rathcock, but I do enjoy the movie and Peter Sellers' performance more. That's why he's a little bit higher on my list.
My number four can be summed up with a few words. No matter what happens in 2016, if these words were true, it would make everything better. President Samuel L. Jackson. And that's what we got in 2014's Big Game, written and directed by Jalmari Helander. Samuel L. Jackson is President William Allen Moore. Air Force One gets shot down. He's trapped in the wilderness. And there's a 13-year-old boy trying to survive in the wilderness that's there to help him out and save him. It's just a silly action movie with President Samuel L. Jackson and a 13-year-old boy fighting off these terrorists. You have Ray Stevenson in there. Ted Levine, who's awesome. Victor Garber is the vice president. Felicity Huffman, Jim Broadbent. There's a lot of awesome people in this movie. It's just a cool movie. I feel like it came and went and didn't get a lot of attention around here.
I think it was a foreign movie.
Yeah.
Foreign produced, and I think that's why.
The foreign writer and director and foreign produced. So kind of went under the radar here, but the tagline is just big action, big adventure, big game. And that sums it up. It reminds me, there's Shoot to Kill was an action movie in the wilderness. There's a handful of them that surviving the game. Yeah. It's like that.
Predators.
Yeah, it's like that. but slightly more ridiculous because it's Sammy Jackson, the 13-year-old kid, fighting off terrorists, and it's awesome. It's just a fun, dumb action movie with President Samuel L. Jackson.
My number three is an action movie starring the president fighting off terrorists, one of which Gary Oldman at his one of his most Gary Oldman-iest. That is Wolfgang Peterson's 1997 Air Force One, wherein Harrison Ford plays President James Marshall. Certainly there's a style of American presidents that closely emulates this courageous in the face of danger ex-war hero, Washington, Grant, Eisenhower, President Jim Marshall. They're all cut from the same cloth. There's a trope in Hollywood of explaining movies by using other movies as a comparison. It's Die Hard on an airplane. That could fit for several movies, but only one of which sees the President of the United States as Die Hard. Presidents have to make hard calls, and that's surely the case for President Marshall. He refuses to negotiate with the terrorists that have taken control of his plane, even when they start offing hostages. And even after the last terrorist has been politely asked to exit the craft, Marshall is willing to go down with his ship, putting the lives of his men before his own. Absolutely a class act, complete badass. That is the kind of president during wartime that you would like to have. The guy that could, you're sure, whoever we go to war with, if we were at war with Russia, yeah, President Jim Marshall, he could take Putin. Not a problem. Horseback, shirtless, I don't give a shit. Get off my horse, Putin.
Big old manly hands. My number three, you talk about Die Hard on a plane. My number three transitions to Die Hard in the White House. We talk a lot about movies coming out in
close
chunks.
Proximity to each other.
Yeah. You had Olympus Has Fallen come out before White House Down, which is my number.
Okay, thank you. I was like, which one is on the list?
White House Down is my number, whatever. Okay. We're on three, I believe. Starring Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx as President Sawyer, directed by Roland Emmerich. This movie, it's a lot of fun. I like this movie.
Not as much fun as Olympus Has Fallen. More headshots in that one.
See, I don't think I've seen Olympus Has Fallen all the way through.
I have. There's a lot of headshots in it.
It's not fun, though, is it?
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I watched like 5 minutes of the president's wife like dies real depressing.
Yours is much more fun. That's what I meant to say.
I thought you said not as much fun. Yeah, White House Down,
yes,
a lot of fun.
Right.
It feels like a Channing Tatum action movie. It feels like a Jamie Foxx action movie. Jamie Foxx is a real cool president. President Sawyer is awesome. You have this political thriller aspect to it. Who is causing all this? There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Jason Clarke, Richard Jenkins, Maggie Gyllenhaal, James Woods, Jimmy Simpson. Like, there's a lot of awesome people in this movie. And then Joey King is Cale's daughter. I love it. I legit love this movie. I hate that Olympus Has Fallen came out around the same time because I feel like that was like a March release, I believe, and it made more money than this, which was thrown in the middle of the summer. And a lot of times the first one has a bit of an advantage.
And it already got a sequel.
And it's got a third one on its way, which I don't need a second White House Down because I can do that again.
London Down.
Yeah. Lincoln Memorial Down.
But Jefferson, we're coming for you.
It's just a lot of fun. Like, Channing Tatum's a competent action star. He's personable. He's likable. Maggie Gyllenhaal's cool in her role. I love Jamie Foxx. The relationship that Tatum and Foxx form is a lot of fun. It's a really competent action movie. There's more fun to it than something like Die Hard. Die Hard is, it's got its own style of fun. Like, it didn't try to be comedic. It just had this fun feel to it.
It wasn't really a buddy movie. You know what I mean? The closest thing to a buddy he had was Carl Winslow.
Yeah, this does throw more like straight up humor in it. And it is just Die Hard in the White House pretty much. But it's a lot of fun, and I think it's the superior movie over whatever I haven't
seen. Over the 5 minutes that you've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're right. I think.
Also, you're making a third one. How long is Aaron Eckhart president?
Maybe this is just like a really shitty month for him. Like, take the hint, man. Like, your approval ratings are not good if everyone's always trying to kill you. I think these movies were made for two vastly different audiences. If you have a sense of humor, then maybe White House Down is your movie. If you just literally want to watch a video game play out on screen, then maybe stick with Olympus Has Fallen. My number two did have a really terrible video game that came from the movie, but it did have a great president that came from the movie. One of the first ones that you might think of when you think of movie presidents, and that is President Thomas J. Whitmore, played so effectively by Bill Pullman in Roland Emmerich's 1996 Independence Day, also starring Will Smith, not a president, and Jeff Goldblum.
Back-to-back Roland Emmerich.
We're rolling deep. Being a great commander.
We're done. This is the last episode for more reasons.
We just planned all these. If you were going to quit, we should have saved ourselves the 5 minutes.
You should have made
minutes.
That joke first, and I would have saved us all that time.
Oh, shit. Being a great commander-in-chief is part of the job of president. Usually that's leading your nation in and out of conflict with other countries, acting a fool. For Tom Whitmore, it was some aliens acting a fool, which causes the commander-in-chief to rally the defenses of Earth to save the planet. Don't get it wrong. That's exactly what would happen in an alien invasion. Somehow, everyone would look to the president of the United States, whoever it is, and they would be the ones that are leading us. So when you vote today, think about that. Do you really want Gary Johnson in charge when the aliens come?
Or do you want Jill Stein?
Right, exactly. Or what's that other guy, Johnny Awesome, or what the hell is that dude's name?
Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, the guy that has the Tiger Ranch or whatever. I feel like the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences must have watched this movie without the dialogue. It easily won for Best Visual Effects, and it should have. And you could make a solid case that it could have, should have won for Best Sound, but I'm not sure how Bill Pullman didn't snag a nomination just for the speech he gives up, single-handedly firing up the entire world and inspiring a sequel all at the same time. And it also inspired a Movies on Up episode to complete the trifecta.
Yep.
Yes.
Did we do an Independence Day episode?
We didn't do an Independence Day episode, but yes, that's why we did the speeches, because of Independence Day 2 and President Thomas Whitmore.
My number two, a movie with one of the best names for a movie ever, from 1993, directed by Ivan Reitman, one of our pod favorites. It's Dave, starring Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Dunn, Frank Langella, Ving Rhames, Ben Kingsley, Charles Grodin. The president gets sick and goes into a coma, but the timing is really, really bad. And to avoid the outcry of the president being in a coma, they find Dave, a guy who looks exactly like the president, to fill in for President Bill Mitchell. So he basically just has to go through and pretend to be Sigourney Weaver's husband. Would be an easy job. And pretend to be president of the United States. And then you find out along the way, oh, the president's kind of a dick. And Dave is pretty awesome of a dude. I love this movie. I love Kevin Kline as a movie star. Like something like this and In-N-Out. I love him as a leading man because he's so charming and likable. And him and Sigourney Weaver play off of each other really well in this movie, because it is the cliche where, like, oh, she hates him at first and then he grows on her. But they're just from different worlds. And, hey, what's an average guy do as the president? Because he kind of takes on the role and wants to do more than just pretend. It's a really, really cool movie. I like Kevin Kline. It's one of those movies that it all depends on who's playing the lead character. If you have somebody who... Jai Courtney and Dave isn't going to be that good of a movie.
But he will try.
He'll give it his
really
best.
Hard.
Kevin Kline... A perfect movie. Like, it's not a perfect movie, but it's great. It's the perfect role for him. He brings everything that you want in a guy pretending to be president. And then in the other moments, he is very presidential. He does turn it on. And it's just such a cute, fun, encapsulates the 90s. Like, it feels like a 90s romantic comedy, because it is like the epitome of a 90s romantic comedy with some presidential stuff thrown in there.
My number one features perhaps the second best name on the list. If it's not Dave, then it has to be Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Herbert Camacho, Terry Crews's president from Mike Judge's Idiocracy from 2006, starring people that weren't the president. Well, Luke Wilson becomes the president. Spoiler alert. Maya Rudolph and Dax Shepard. We were supposed to have 500 years before we got to the point where absolute lunacy has taken control of the country. Somehow we've managed to get there in just 10 years from when Idiocracy came out. President Camacho self-identifies as a 5-time Ultimate SmackDown champion, porn superstar, and president of the United States in just that order. In a mere several hours, we could very easily have ourselves a president who identifies as a billionaire, an Emmy Award winner, and president in that order. You can almost hear him echoing the great speech from Network. Shit, I know shit's bad right now with all that starving bullshit and the dust storms, and we're running out of French fries and burrito coverings, but I got a solution. Believe me. Sure, he's as much of an idiot as everyone else in the year 2505, but what makes President Camacho top on my list is his ability to see his own flaws and recognize someone that has better ideas, or any real ideas for that matter. Realizing that the country is faced with problems like food and crop shortages, dust bowl, crippled economy, mountains of garbage, and other shit too, President Camacho actually tries to find someone to address the problems, then promptly has them nearly burned alive before issuing a full pardon and making that person the vice president, who eventually becomes president after he decides not to run.
I at least toyed with the idea of doing Idiocracy this week instead of Favorite Presidents, but I thought that might be a little too on the nose, and the thought.
I'll just make it my number one then.
Yeah.
I do want to watch Idiocracy now.
I did leave it all. I wasn't a big fan, but I mean, I was so hyped up from Office Space because I thought Mike Judge made the transition to movies
right.
Phenomenally. I thought Office Space was a great film debut. Maybe I had built up my expectations a little too much for Idiocracy.
It's a little preachy, to be honest. But I do love...
I've only watched it the once when it first came out, and I didn't like it. If I were to watch it again, maybe I'd appreciate it more.
Justin Long's character, I love. And even just the lines that Dax Shepard has, I think are ridiculously funny. That have very little to do with politics at all. Just how bad... Next week on Ouch My Nuts!
My number one, it's similar to White House Down, where we talked about Olympus Has Fallen came out before White House Down, and... people kind of forgot about White House Down because of Olympus Has Fallen. My number one is in a similar situation.
Is it a black president?
It is a black president. Nice. It is the black president with an amazing voice. Armageddon came out and was the comet asteroid movie that kind of made an impact on everybody, and it was the big hit.
But who was the president in that movie?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then also that same year, Deep Impact came out, which when it comes to an asteroid destroying the planet, Deep Impact is far and away a superior movie over Armageddon. Armageddon's a fun popcorn flick. Deep Impact is a legit good movie, directed by Mimi Leder, starring Robert Duvall, Taya Leone, Elijah Wood, Vanessa Redgrave, Morgan Freeman as President Beck, Maximilian Schell, James Cromwell, Favreau, Eldard, Mary McCormick, Lily Sobieski, Blair Underwood. Like, there's a lot of people in this movie. And they all have their moment. You know, you have Eldard and Jon Favreau is some of the astronauts. The astronauts have their time to shine. It centers mostly around Taya Leone, who does a great job carrying the movie for the most part. Like, for an ensemble movie, she does carry a large chunk of it. Elijah Wood is really good in it. And then President Morgan Freeman. You're the president at the end of the world. You're the president trying to keep humanity alive.
Way to go, President Freeman.
Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in. It's like, this is what's going to happen. We can't save everybody. How do we decide what we're going to save? There's a lot at play in this movie. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of realism in it. When you think about it, like, if something's happening, like, they have to decide who goes and who is left to die. And it's a great movie. Like, it's almost 20 years old now, but it's been on a few times. I've rewatched it a few times in the past year or so. It holds up. Morgan Freeman is really good as President Beck, who has these tough decisions to make. Taya Leone is awesome as this reporter who's trying to uncover it and having issues with their dad along the way. Elijah Wood is just this young kid who given a raw deal because he's facing the end of the world. There's a lot going on, and it's a lot more deep than just, oh, here's a spaceship trying to blow up an asteroid to save the world. It feels like real people dealing with, oh, we're all going to die soon.
But if you were getting that news, it's best to get it from Morgan Freeman.
Oh, absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely. If I'm going to die, I'd rather him tell me.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, like, diagnosis you're going to have to get, like, I guess you might as well get it from Morgan Freeman.
They should do that. He does Garmin voice now for, yeah, like, directions. Like, he should just record. Doctors can just press a button.
Yeah. You've got.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
But I mean, Deep Impact. It's a phenomenal movie. Like, still, it's I think it's great. And
this
I
is
feel
how
like,
damn good Morgan Freeman is. He was great in Olympus Has Fallen as the Speaker of the House. I think he becomes like acting president because, well, you know, the president is has fallen. I think the VP gets it in the head. So basically, you're left with, again, an acting President Freeman who does become the vice president in the second movie. He assumes power again. Somebody should look at Morgan Freeman in these, and he might be the guy causing everything.
Did you have any also-rans?
To be honest, not really. Morgan Freeman was, I guess, one that I left off. I wouldn't call it an also-ran. I just had a feeling, a pretty strong feeling that it was going to be on yours. Honestly, some of my favorite presidents, if you look up like favorite movie presidents, for whatever
TV
reason,
ones.
Yeah, TV ones tend to show up a lot.
They get more time to develop. And
yeah, they
be
do.
Presidential.
Right.
Jeb.
Yeah.
Was that his name? Was that Sheen's name on
I
West Wing?
I think it was Jebediah. I don't know. I didn't watch West Wing. At some point, Sarah will make me. She loves that. President Mary McConnell from Battlestar. I liked her. Some TV presidents. Dennis Haysbert was a great TV president.
If some of my also-rans, Lloyd Bridges and Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
Just a stupid movie. Just a joke a second. But somehow he stands out in that movie. Like he's essentially the comic relief in this nonstop comedy. Because he just, everything he says is ridiculous. First Daughter, terrible movie, but I like the sound of President Michael Keaton, so I had to put that there. And then Absolute Power with Gene Hackman as the president, a pretty solid movie.
Head of State with Chris
Rock. I thought about Head of State, but I don't remember liking it all that much. And we didn't mention American President, Michael Douglas, Annette Bening. That's a competent movie. Like, it's a quality movie, it's not. For me, I always like Dave. I feel like Dave and that came out around the same time as well. So that was kind of my theme this time around. But yeah, those were our favorite president movies. I mean, I know we'll be in at least a decent mood for the next couple of weeks because we recorded those episodes already. So as long as we're not all retreated to the bunker before then and still have internet, you'll be able to listen to... We have a cowboy episode coming up and then... Sex Drive is next week, I believe.
Yeah, Sex Drive, I think, and then the Cowboys for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving
nothing...
Cowboys.
No, that's it.
Oh, the
Cowboys always play on Thanksgiving.
The... Yes, that's why.
We're about to be really confused in 2 weeks, and we're going to try and wrap our heads around why we did a Cowboys movie for Thanksgiving. It's because we were too clever for our own damn good.
Right, and I had no idea why we were doing favorite cowboy movies for Thanksgiving. We thought it was because of Pilgrims and Indians, and then Indians and Cowboys. But no, it's because the Dallas Cowboys play every Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Oops. So remember this in 2 weeks when we have no idea why we're doing
when
that
it episode. Sounds like we're complete buffoons. We're not. We figured it out. A couple weeks ahead of time. But until then.
The Da Vinci Code. Just we wrote it and we have to solve it ourselves. But,
in less time than it takes to watch the Da Vinci Code.
But yeah, until next week.
Keep it up.